If you like dropping bombs from downtown, you've come to the right place.
Ahead to Curry. Curry sets, fires, puts it up. Bang! Steph Curry from way downtown.
Get ready for all things basketball.
Let it rain!
Where the hot takes get even hotter.
He's on fire!
This is Beyond the Arc with Jacob Reimer.
All right, everyone, welcome back for another episode of Beyond the Arc. I am your host, Jacob Reimer. Guys, the leaves are changing colors. It's getting colder in the air. Basketball is back. The NBA is underway, and we are just 10 days away from college basketball beginning. We've had our secret scrimmages. We've got actual exhibition games starting actually tonight. Imani Bates dropped like 27 last night in his debut with Eastern Michigan. So basketball is back. North Carolina, the number one team in the nation. We're going to get into them a little bit later. They got a scrimmage tonight. Ohio State, they have a scrimmage on November 1st, next Monday. So it's coming soon. It's getting closer. I can feel it. I can taste it. The CBS Sports March Madness music is getting louder and louder each and every day. But that has not started yet. We got NBA basketball underway. The champs, the Golden State Warriors, they are looking incredible offensively. Defensively, though, not so good. They just gave up almost a little over 130 to the Suns, something like that. It almost lost by 30, but they're still 3-2 early in the season. Steph, Finals MVP, coming back. Averaging 30.8 right now, and he's scored over 30 in every home game that they've had this year. So he's balling, he's locked in. Andrew Wiggins is another stud for them, averaging 20. And, I mean, this team is incredibly offensive on offense. They got so many weapons, as we know from last year. They did lose a lot of veteran help from last year, and that's why they struggle on defense, because you got the main group of Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond and Looney starting, and then off the bench, Jordan Poole is probably going to win Sixth Man of the Year this year, without a question, without a doubt. He's averaging 14.2 on the season so far, and he looks locked in. There's a different move he breaks out each game, it seems like, and it's incredible. Like, this dude is unstoppable offensively. He's the next stud future point guard when Steph decides to retire, but I don't see that happening anytime soon, at least I hope. And, like, they're in great hands there with Jordan Poole. And he's going to win Sixth Man of the Year. He's been shooting and playing a lot better than Clay has, but Clay's been kind of limited on minutes coming into this year. Clay actually got ejected for the first time in his career on Tuesday night against the Suns. Him and Devin Booker were going at it, and Clay went a little over the top and got tossed. So that was pretty cool to see the energy right there from Clay getting that emotional. And I just hope that he can continue to progress throughout the season, which he should, and get up to, because he's only averaging 12.6 right now, get up to averaging almost 20, because they're going to need it. They're really going to need it. He's going to be a great on-ball defender for this team. He was doing great against Devin Booker on Tuesday, who's been going nuts as well, and just looked incredible on defense. But the second unit, when they come in, the defense and the scoring goes way down, other than Jordan Poole. Moses Moody's okay. He's becoming a really good shooter and a really good scoring wing that they'll need coming off the bench to provide some help. But, I mean, you've got Poole, who's less than 25 years old. You got him. You got Kuminga. You got Moses Moody. You got James Wiseman. Four guys right there coming off the bench who don't have much experience playing in the NBA. They do have rings, but like, what hurts them a ton, they lost Gary Payton II, who was an elite defensive player. Like, you put him out there, Steph didn't want him to leave. He was telling the GM, the owners, everybody, do not let this man leave, because you do not want him having to guard me in the playoffs. And he hasn't played a minute for Portland yet. And Portland's 4-1. Damian Lillard just got hurt, though. But Portland looks like a really good playoff team, and possibility that these two teams meet down the road in the NBA playoffs. But we're way far away from that. And who knows, anything can happen, and that is a very good possibility at the moment of happening. But they need to get so much better defensively. It's crazy. Draymond is still okay, but when that second unit comes in, they don't have much. They lost it all, like I just said. Gary Payton II, Otto Porter. They just let these guys walk, but they needed to in order to pay Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole, potentially a Draymond Green, potentially a Klay Thompson next year. So I mean, if you have to sacrifice that, then yeah. But they brought in Jamichael Green, good guy to have coming off the bench. They're trying to play Wiseman a lot more so that they can put him into that starting role. But I mean, it's still a lot of season left. They look good. The offense is incredible. The way they all move without the ball, it's so fun to watch. It's how basketball should be played, not this ISO ball that you see many teams running. And the NBA, it's kind of shocking. The NBA is more of a copycat league. Like, you see, like, in the past, you saw a lot of teams trying to get guys that can match another team's skill set. And you don't see that now in the NBA. You don't, like look at the Lakers. We're going into the Lakers here in a second. They're 0-4. They don't have any shooters. Golden State has all the shooters. If the Lakers want to contend with a team like the Warriors and try to get out of the West and get LeBron another championship, they need to get shooters. And they're not able to do that right now because their team is horrible. And the Warriors, they have all the shooters, like I just said. So you don't see that happening much now in the NBA as it's changed to ISO ball, which stinks. But the Warriors love to see what they're doing. They're doing great. 3-2, like I said. They just beat the Heat last night. Steph looked incredible, had 33. He's been doing a lot more defensively and creating for everybody else. I mean, he's averaging 6 assists a game, which that's pretty good for Steph for how much he's scoring. So he's trying to expand his game a little bit, and he's got to use his weapons somehow, and they're producing for him. Like I just said, we're going to talk about the Lakers. Well, here we go. The Lakers are 0-4, and they are very, very bad. And you can't even say they're in the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes because they don't have any draft picks. They traded them all to get Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook and all these guys. And they have 2 first-round picks, but the one with the Pelicans for this year is a swap, so could eventually end up being the Pelicans pick. So even if the Lakers do end up with the worst record or are in the lottery, I don't see much of a chance of them getting Victor Wembanyama, which is unfortunate for them because they need all the help they can get. Like, Russell Westbrook is now going to be coming off the bench for the Lakers. He's just been horrible. I mean, you got LeBron and AD, and AD hasn't been that great either. He's not what he used to be. It seems like anytime he falls down, you're scared he's going to get up and get hurt. He's got back spasms already now. That was evident on Wednesday. He was probable for the game, ended up playing, and hurt his back again during the game. This man just cannot stay healthy. They need to make a trade to try and bring in shooters. They have no shooting whatsoever. They are shooting 22.3% on the season. That is absolutely horrible. I mean, that's so bad. They were shooting 20% going into Wednesday night's game, and they shot like 26%, so it increased by 2%, and that's a good thing for them, but it's still not good. The Warriors, they're shooting 36% from 3. That's a lot better. It's a lot better, but this Lakers team, they're in a lot of trouble unless they make some moves to bring in some shooters. Like, go and try to get Buddy Hield. What stinks now is because of how bad Russ has played, they can't trade him because nobody wants him. Their best option right now is to just let the season play out, start over again in 2023, 2024, because you're not going to have Russell Westbrook's contract anymore. He's going to be gone after this year. You're going to have all that money to go out and spend money on getting shooters. But I don't think you want to wait. Like, LeBron doesn't have that much time left in his career. And they don't have much help at all. They traded Talen Horton Tucker for basically Patrick Beverley, and that was a horrible trade because the Utah Jazz, everybody thought, was going to be tanking for Victor Wembanyama, and they're 3-1. They got one of the best records in the West right now, one of the best records in the league. Like, they're playing great. They're not coming around to be a part of this Victor Wembanyama Sweet Six, even though everybody in Utah wants them to be. And right now it's looking like the Jazz destroyed the Lakers in that trade. It was so stupid. They could have got Kyrie for Russ and Talen Horton Tucker and some picks, whatever. And they decided not. They could have got Mike Conley, Bojan Bogdanovic, and a couple picks, and somebody else. I can't remember the full trade details for Russ and two first-round picks. Why not do that? You're getting Mike Conley, he's getting older, but he's still an elite. He's still a pretty good point guard to have. A veteran point guard that's going to help you a ton, can shoot, can create. He's okay with LeBron being at the one and Mike Conley being at the two, just spotting up. You got Bogdanovic, who is a great spot-up shooter, which LeBron needs. And Bogdanovic is just a great scorer in general. And I'm pretty sure they would have kept Talen Horton Tucker. I don't understand what the thought process on that was, but that was very stupid of them to pass up that trade. It was so stupid. They're 0-4 right now, bottom in the West, bottom in the league, and their upcoming schedule is not easy. Like, they very easily could start out 0-11, honestly. It's a struggle. They play at Minnesota tonight, and Minnesota is... they're pretty good. They got D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, and the two. They got shooters, what the Lakers don't, and Kat and Rudy Gobert on the inside. And then they play the Nuggets at home again, and they just lost to the Nuggets. Good possibility they lose that. The Pelicans are a really good team when they're healthy, with Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson, CJ McCollum, those guys. Herbert Jones, when he's playing, or Herb Jones. Jonas Valanciunas, they're a really good team. They got a lot of shooters as well, and playmakers and scorers. So that's not going to be an easy win. Utah, they should win. They should beat Utah. But Utah is actually decent. Then they play the Cavs. They're going to lose to the Cavs because the Cavs are insane. At Utah and at LA. Their next possible win is against the Kings. So let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, they have a really good shot at starting 0-11. And then they play the Kings and then the Nets. Like, there's a very good possibility that this team starts out 0-11. It would not surprise me, and I'm here for it. I'm okay with it. I'm completely okay with it. Next, we are moving on to the better New York team right now, and that is the New York Knicks, who are 3-1. I don't want to get my hopes up on this team yet, though, but Jalen Brunson is looking like the savior of this New York Knicks team. They are actually pretty good, but they almost, if it wasn't for PJ Washington's foot being on the line, they would have gone to a double overtime with the Charlotte Hornets without their two best players. But with that being said, Jalen Brunson looks incredible for this team. The playmaking, everything. He's averaging 8.5 assists and almost 5 rebounds for them, and averaging 20 points a game. He just had 27 against the Hornets. And what he is doing with the weapons around him is insane. The playmaking, I mean, we saw it last year with Dallas when Luka was out. This guy was just on a scorched earth tour trying to get paid this offseason, and he did. And he's still doing great things right now with New York being the main guy. You got three solid lefties, Julius Randle, Jalen Brunson, RJ Barrett. And Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson are both averaging 20 a game. And I think he's gone so unnoticed because it's been all Jalen Brunson right now. RJ Barrett needs to be so much better for this Knicks team to succeed, and that's 100% fact. Evan Fournier, spot up shooter, just play your role and you're going to do well. Same with Cam Reddish. Like, that starting five, if they play in their roles, they're a good team. I don't think they're contender quite yet, but they're like play into like 5 or 6 seed in the East. And that's not a bad thing right now for the New York Knicks, as they're still trying to figure some things out. And honestly, I'm not a huge Julius Randle guy. I would try and trade him and get maybe a better big and some more shooters to surround Jalen Brunson. I don't think just Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle can put them over the top with what's in the East. They're not bad. We're going to find out a lot about them tonight, though. They play at Milwaukee, and they're 3-1 right now. If they can compete with the Bucks, then I think they can compete with anybody. So I'm excited for that, and I love Jalen Brunson as a player. He's one of the only Wooden Award players that's actually panning out in the NBA, and it's kind of shocking for how he started that. This is unexpected for them, for a guy like that. Zion hasn't been healthy. Obi Toppin, he's on the bench, coming off the bench for the Knicks. Luka Garza doesn't see much. So, I mean, you can just look at that. Oscar Tshiebwe, he's still in college. I don't think he'll have much of an NBA career, honestly. But we'll get into all that later on. The Cavs, the Cleveland Cavaliers are back. They look so, so good. They're so good. I don't know why I just said so many times. Oh my gosh, what is going on with me? But Donovan Mitchell, what they did to get Donovan Mitchell was insane. Yeah, it's helping out both teams because the Cavs are one of the top teams in the East right now. I think they're a true contender with what they have. When Darius Garland gets healthy, like Seti Osman, he's their second leading scorer right now. And it's insane. Like, you have Donovan Mitchell averaging 28.5, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Caris LeVert. You got Kevin Love coming off the bench. Darius Garland is hurt. Like, this team is so good. This team is really, really good. Like, they can compete in the East 100%. Jared Allen is a guaranteed double-double every night. And Donovan Mitchell, he just wants to win. He wants to be in a good situation. He loves Cleveland. Like, this Cavs team is so fun to watch. It's awesome. I love that Cleveland basketball is back without LeBron being there. That's been the whole thing about the Cavs. It's like, oh yeah, they can't win with LeBron there. LeBron carried them all these years, and then he leaves and they're bad. They're back. They are so back. As long as they can stay healthy, they are going to be really freaking good. And I'm very excited for that. Ben Simmons is still scared to shoot. It's nothing new. I mean, he's been doing good defensively. He locked up Luka like a play last night. Luka went nuts, but like he's getting after it on the defensive end. But like, there was a scene Wednesday night. He had a wide open layup. Kyrie underneath the basket. He yelled, "Shoot it, Ben!" And Ben passed it out to KD, who ended up making a mid range jumper. But this Brooklyn team, they are a joke. They have the least amount of revenue in season tickets. Like, nobody bought season tickets to watch the Nets. They're 1-4, just lost to the Mavs last night. Kevin Durant's doing Kevin Durant things, averaging 33.2, and Kyrie's close behind with 29.6. But, I mean, you could probably bet the under on any game this year for Ben Simmons in points. It's so bad. He just does not want to score the ball, which it blows my mind for some reason. But the Nets, they're struggling right now. 1-4. They got to figure some things out, and which I think they will. They got a good team. I like Nick Claxton a lot. Royce O'Neal. They're missing a key piece to this team, and that's Seth Curry. They need shooters surrounding Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving to open up the floor a little bit. They need him. Joe Harris, he's played three games for them so far, so he's slowly getting back. But you get Joe Harris fully healthy back. Patty Mills starts lighting it up. You get Seth Curry back. You got Royce O'Neal. You got some shooters surrounding Kyrie and Kevin Durant, and that's going to be huge for this team if they can consistently knock down shots. They have, at full health, what the Lakers need. And if they can stay healthy with the shooters they have, I think the Nets will figure it out and get some things turned around. They've had a few tough opponents to start the season. So it's looking good. I mean, they're 1-4 right now, but it's nothing to panic about right now. You still have Kevin Durant. You still have Kyrie Irving. Nothing to worry about at all right now. Like I just said, Luka is playing like the MVP. He went off for them last night. Had like a 40-point triple-double. had me 152 fantasy points. Absurd. But he's averaging 36.2 points per game. They are 2-2 right now. Christian Wood's been great for them. They're actually having him coming off the bench. Spencer Dinwiddie is doing what they wanted him to do when they got him last year at the trade deadline. They got shooters as well. That's what's helped this team with Luka being the main piece. So that's always a plus. I mean, Luka's averaging 36.2, 9.5 rebounds a game, and 9.2 assists per game. As long as they finish, I'd say fourth or fifth or better, I think Luka gets MVP, and he's looking like it right now. He's just been unstoppable. He's a lock every night. So I like this Dallas team a lot with Luka. So he's the front runner, my front runner to win MVP without a doubt. Who is the favorite in the East right now and the favorite in the West? The East is tough because I think there's three teams that are really, really good, and that's the Bucks, Cavs, and the Celtics. The Celtics are really good defensively. Again, they are really deep. Getting Malcolm Brogdon was huge. They still have Derek White, Grant Williams. Once they get Robert Williams back, that's going to be a nice bonus to their defense. The Bucks are still without Chris Middleton, but Giannis is the best player in the world, so it's tough to not have them be the favorite in the East. So I think I'm going to go with the Bucks, but don't be surprised with the Cavs or the Celtics either right now. Like they're still really good teams. Favorite in the West, I know they're 3-2, but it's tough to go against the Warriors right now with their offense. They just need to improve on defense tremendously. The West is not as good as what it usually is. The Grizzlies are still crazy with Ja Morant. You got Luka with Dallas, like I just talked about. One team to not, what am I looking for, to be on the lookout for is the Clippers. They are a very, very tough team. They are very deep. They are probably the deepest team in the NBA. Like Robert Covington's probably their like 10th man coming off the bench. Kawhi's still easing his way back in. Paul George has been playing great. They have John Wall coming off the bench, guys. They got Reggie Jackson. Like, this team is... The Clippers are very good, especially on defense. They got the scorers, they got the shooters, but their defense is insane. They are 2-3, however. I think once they can finally be fully healthy, have Kawhi back playing normal minutes, they're going to be scary. It's still early. My favorite in the West, though, is the Golden State Warriors. I can't knock the champs until they get beat. You can put the Suns in that conversation. I like the way the Suns play. Devin Booker's been on fire to start the season. He's averaging like 32 a game. Put up ridiculous numbers against the Warriors the other night. I'm not going with anybody other than Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. That's a fact. Next, we're going to get into a little college here to finish out the show. Ohio State basketball, they are back. They're recruiting at an insane level right now. And they actually had an open practice a few weeks ago, and it was really cool to watch. I got some takeaways. Their main focus is 100% the defense. They need to improve on defense, and it's very evident. Like, we get there, and they're doing box-out drills, help side, shell defense. They put the bubble on the rim so that no made shots, and there's a guaranteed rebound somewhere. And, I mean, they've got guys that are going to crash the boards offensively as well. They got Tanner Holden, who did a really good job attacking the glass. Ice Likely is a really good rebounder. Zed Key, as usual. Felix Akpara, 6'11 center, just insanely long. Like they've got the dudes to go in and rebound. They just need to box out and eliminate second chance opportunities. That's what we said all year last year, was they need rebounding big time. And Holtman got that with this class, with the transfers coming in as well. I think they're going to be a lot better on with their rebounding. They did have a secret scrimmage against Wake Forest. I thought I heard it didn't really turn out too well. Because now I think they are like the favored to finish eighth, or predicted to finish eighth in the Big Ten. But the Big Ten is so wide open, I think, this year. It's going to be fun to watch in the Big Ten. Justice Suing is thrilled to be back. He is very excited to be back, and I'm excited for him to be back. I just hope he can stay healthy. So look out for him. He can shoot the ball. He can bring the ball up the floor. He's a great on-ball defender. He's going to be needed rebounding as well. Just get it and go. But offensively, he's probably going to be the go-to scorer to start the season. Zed Key is shooting a lot more. It's not super exciting, but he is trying to expand his game to shoot some threes, spread the floor a little bit more, which they can definitely do if he's knocking down threes. I don't expect anything too crazy right now from him, but if he can even give at least 30% from three, that's going to help spread the floor so much, open up so many driving lines, because this team, they have a ton of playmakers that can get to the basket. Like Ice Likely, the transfer from Oklahoma State, he is a guy that like isn't a true shooting threat, but he can finish on the inside against anybody. Kind of like EJ Liddell, but I don't think he's as skilled offensively as EJ Liddell. He can take somebody down into the post and score through him. He's really strong and really physical. So I'm excited for that. But I think they have the shooters this year. And if Zed Key can, like I just said, give at least 30%, that's going to help spread the floor so much, so much. Which transfer will be the most effective? This is the tough one, because I'm pretty sure Ice Likely is going to start. He's a captain. Grad transfer from Oklahoma State. But he's the leader. He's going to be the nucleus defensively, be the voice for them, and just bring the physicality aspect and just the toughness that this team was lacking last year. But one transfer I'm very, very excited for is Tanner Holden from Wright State. Guy averaged 20 last year. Averaging 20 in Division One is not easy. Like, at any level, any conference, whether you're a Power 5 or Group of 5, whatever. It's like, averaging 20 is really good. Like, this guy is going to be huge scoring the ball for Ohio State this year. I think he should be a starter, unless they want to use him coming off the bench. It's going to be interesting. I give my prediction for the starting lineup right now. Probably Bruce Thornton, freshman, Justice Suing, Ice Likely, Tanner Holden, and Zed Key. And I'm probably missing somebody in there. You can throw in Eugene Brown, Sean McNeil. You can throw in him, Bryce Sansabaugh. Bryce Sansabaugh will probably come off the bench, freshman. But Tanner Holden, he can do a lot of things. He's a very gifted scorer. He can shoot, he can rebound, he can drive. Very skilled lefty. He's going to be a tough matchup for any team this year. So I'm excited for him, I think, mostly. Because he's a Wheelersburg guy, Southern Ohio, went to Wright State, staying in home and going to Ohio State. I think he's going to be really, really good. I do know that the freshmen will be trusted to score a lot early on in their career. They don't have much scorers. Like, it's insane. Justice Suing, Tanner Holden, and Zed Key on the inside. Those are probably their three main scorers to start off. Bruce Thornton and Ice Likely are more of their creators. Bruce Thornton can definitely score. He's a really good scorer, but he's also a really good playmaker and setting up opportunities for other people. Like, Bruce Thornton, he came off a screen from Zed, put the defender on his back, like, to keep him away, making Zed's defender have to come and take him so that he can't drive. And that allowed Thornton to do a little dump off to Zed, who had a two-handed dunk in a scrimmage at their open practice. I'm excited for Bruce Thornton. If I had to go out of the freshmen I'm most excited for, it's either Bruce Thornton or Bryce Sansabaugh. And don't even sleep on Roddy Gale either. Like, that guy is a hooper. He's going to be good for them. He won the slam dunk contest too, so like, this guy can fly. Get used to Felix Okpara as well, freshman coming off the bench. He's going to be used a lot for rebounding and his length. So I'm excited for that. This freshman class is really, really good, and it's very underrated, I think, in my opinion. So, but the class that they got, I'm excited for this Ohio State team. I think that they'll finish middle of the pack of the Big Ten like usual, but it's such a toss-up. They win one big game, they're riding high. They could very easily finish top two or three, maybe even first. It's that wide open this year in the Big Ten. After the open practice, they did a little Q&A with some of the players. They did with Justice Suing, Zed Key, Eugene Brown, and Ice Likely, Ronnie Stokes, Ohio State legend, was interviewing them. And then after those guys, they did with Coach Holtman. And after Ron Stokes asked his questions, they opened it up to the crowd. And I got the opportunity to ask Holtman a question. I asked him, because I noticed during the scrimmage that Ohio State, they had three different guys bring the ball up at different times during their scrimmages: Bruce Thornton, Ice Likely, and Justice Suing. So I asked him, is this a possibility to have those three in the lineup on the floor together, if that could be utilized at some time during the season? And he said, yeah, I definitely think we'll have a three-guard look. I think the strength of our team right now, if you were to ask me, would be the depth of our versatility in the middle of our lineup. Obviously, Justice Suing is critical for that because he provides a multi-dimensional piece offensively and defensively, but there's no question that we'll play with a multi-guard lineup, even more so than we played in the past. So that's why I think that the main starting lineup is going to have Bruce Thornton, Justice Suing, and Ice Likely, because they want to play fast, they want to get the rebound and go, and to have three, potentially four if you start Tanner Holden, four guards that can bring the ball up the floor and just get it and go and start the offense, go in transition, that's going to be huge for this Ohio State team, and tough for any other team in the Big Ten to stop them. We love fast-paced basketball, and that's going to be exciting for sure. All right, so that was Ohio State. Now we're going to talk about North Carolina. They are the preseason number one team in the AP Top 25, and I am very, very excited for this North Carolina team. They are deep. They are fun. The freshmen that they have are going to be really, really good. Last year, they played the Iron Five, which you know of. They need a little more depth to this team, and I think they have that. That's young depth, but it's going to be good, I think. And the main question for this North Carolina team is, how are they going to replace Brady Manek? Well, they got Brady Manek 2.0. Not the looks, but the play style, potentially even better. And that's Pete Nance. I mean, Pete Nance is up for the Karl Malone Award, preseason award. And Pete Nance is going to be really good for this North Carolina team. He can shoot, spread the floor. He's a really good passer, and he can finish on the inside, and that's really what they need. And the way that he can spread the floor is going to be huge. It's going to open up driving lines for Caleb and RJ Davis, which is, I think, the best backcourt in all of college basketball. Do not sleep on Caleb Love this year. I think he has the potential to be AP All-America first team along with Bacot. Like, all the hype is around Bacot coming back this year for what he did last year. And all the double-doubles he had, the insane rebounding stats that he had each game. I'm very excited for Bacot. All of college basketball is excited for Bacot. Do not sleep on Caleb Love. This dude, he was training with pros this offseason. Like, he's coming back because he's trying to make an NBA roster next year, 100%. I think this is the last year for Caleb Love in a Carolina Blue uniform. And I think he's going to want to go out, especially with how last year went with the national championship. What's going to help this team this year is they have some depth at the point guard position. Seth Trimble is really, really good. And their scrimmage, blue and white scrimmage that they had, he had 20 points. Seth Trimble had 20 points. Along with RJ Davis and Caleb Love both scoring over 20. Bacot didn't play that much, but Seth Trimble out here scoring 20 against the starters of the preseason number one team in the nation. That's going to be huge coming off the bench. I mean, you look, You look at the team that won it in 2017. They didn't have a great backup point guard, but Nate Britt, he was a pretty good backup for Joel Berry. And they had Seventh Woods and Kenny Williams, but he wasn't healthy that for their national championship run when they went with Theo Pinson. But they had a good backup point guard. Last year, they did not have a good backup point guard. They either had to keep Caleb out on the floor and let RJ rest, or vice versa. And they didn't get much rest last year. That's why they ran out of gas in the second half against Kansas last year. But having Seth Trimble coming off the bench this year is going to be huge for them. They have scoring coming off the bench, and that's going to be so, so good for this team. Tyler Nickel, the all-time leading scorer in Virginia, he put up like almost 20 or a little over 20 in their scrimmage. He's a really gifted scorer. They got Jalen Washington, who's going to be a great backup for Baycott if Baycott gets in foul trouble. And same thing with like that 2017, they had a good backup big man in Tony Bradley, who went to the NBA after that season. I'm pretty sure he's still on an NBA roster this year. Maybe the Sixers, Jazz, one of the two. But they had a good backup big behind Kennedy Meeks and Isaiah Hicks. Jalen Washington, when he gets fully healthy, that's going to be him. Him and Will Shaver. Will Shaver's, I think, underrated as well. But they are a deep team. Like I'm saying all this, and I'm not even mentioning Leaky Black coming back from last year, who's probably the best defender in all of college basketball. I think Dontrez Styles and DeMarco Dunn are in for big seasons. And I haven't even mentioned Puff Johnson, who is going to be their sixth man, probably. And it's going to be another guy that can come off the bench and spread the floor. It's Cam Johnson's little brother. That family is gifted with shooters. North Carolina is, without a doubt, the number one team in the country coming into this year. With what they're bringing back, with what they did, with the chip on their shoulder that they have for how last season ended, coming up just shy of winning a national championship. Just a few minutes away if they would have just stayed a little healthy, I think they could have done it. But they ran out of gas. Last year, they were known as the Iron Five for the starting five that they threw out there that didn't come out much. There's not going to be an Iron Five this year. They are really, really deep. And I'm thrilled and so excited for this North Carolina basketball team. Now to finish out the show, I'm going to give you my top five forwards in college basketball coming back next year. Just returning forwards, no freshmen or anything like that. I'll give you my honorable mention first. I have Kevin McCullough from Kansas, Julian Strother from Gonzaga, Matthew Meyer from Illinois, Timmy Allen from Texas, and Leaky Black from North Carolina. All of these guys are very capable of being inside the top returning forwards. Kevin McCullough, I have him at five. Never mind. Scratch that. He's an honorable mention. He is at number five. Then you got Terrence Shannon Jr. from Illinois, Texas Tech transfer. Jalen Wilson from Kansas, the returning leader. Him and Kevin McCullough are going to be really good together. Jaime Jaquez from UCLA came back. And this guy has the potential to be a top five player in college basketball this year. Jaime Jaquez, he is a really gifted scorer, can stretch the floor, is just a very tough matchup in general. UCLA, don't sleep on them this year. They are really good. And with Jaime Jaquez, they're going to be a scary team. And then Trace Jackson Davis is number one from Indiana. Arguably the best team in the Big Ten right now. But there's a discussion to be had about Indiana and with being in the Big Ten. But that's for another day. But Trace Jackson Davis coming back was huge for Mike Woodson and this Indiana Hoosiers team. They're a deep team. They got shooters. They got other bigs, a great freshman class coming in. Race Thompson coming back from last year. Indiana's going to be good. Do not sleep on them at all. They are definitely the favorites to win the Big Ten. Trace Jackson Davis, he's going to get his 100%, and he is without a doubt the best forward returning in college basketball for this season. We're getting closer, guys. Like I mentioned, 10 days away. 10 days. We are getting closer, and I am so, so excited. There's a lot of great matchups in that first week of college basketball. You do not want to miss them. Mark your calendars. We're going to get into the AP poll rankings, not this episode, but the next episode as we get closer to college basketball. But you got the NBA going on right now. You got some secret scrimmages. You got exhibition games. Like I said, North Carolina plays tonight. So go tune into that. Other than that, that's all I got for you guys. We will be back very soon with college basketball on the horizon, and NBA is still going on right now. With just be on the lookout for all the storylines and everything there going on with the NBA. It's a very interesting season to start out so far. So, well, like I said, that's all I got for you guys again. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This is Beyond the Arc. We will see you next time.